Welcome, welcome, welcome on board the Random Ship for this, our 77th voyage. I am the captain on this weekly journey, Holt, and with me as always is my first mate and my brother, Alan.
Aluphasia.
Now, we've taken the last 2 weeks off, so in case you forget, what we do here is we take 25 to 30 minutes every single week, and we wander the waters of the weird. Yes, the oceans of the obscure, the rivers of the random.
And if you make it to the end of the episode, you'll be rewarded with your weekly ship fact.
So what is our language of the week this week, Alan?
As always, straight off of Google Translate, this is Samoan.
Oh, well, at least that one you know where they speak it.
Yes,
Samoan. That's not like the last one where we had to look it up. And isn't The Rock Samoan? So you and The Rock,
so.
You could now say hello to The Rock.
He also speaks English.
Not so. Well, though.
It's true. It's surprising how well he's done for himself, considering.
Well, we took last week off because I was traveling. I was going...
Yeah, rude.
Back to visit family. It was a great trip.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it was a lovely trip, other than the fact that we had a... My beef of the week is with myself.
Oh.
I know, a rarity. I'm normally self-lover.
You love yourself, generally.
I do love myself, more than anyone. But I have a confession, Alan.
Uh-oh.
In random ship lore, there are two sports that you and I rag on all the time.
Baseball and hockey.
I have a confession. I watched a full period of a hockey game yesterday, Alan.
Wow.
It's the most hockey I've watched in 5 years, but it's just been a big convergence of things that made me say, you know what, maybe I'll watch hockey today.
Okay.
Because I grew up, you didn't, but I grew up loving hockey. Like, we grew up in Ottawa. They have a hockey team there. I love them. Our dad used to take us to games, not so much you guys, because you and Brother Three weren't interested, but him
so
and I
boring.
Went to one or two games a year. It was really our father bonding thing. And then an owner bought the team who traded away or didn't sign all the foundational players that we had, and he was a bad owner. So I swore off the team forever. Well, recently, he died.
Oh.
And my plan was to start watching again when he sold the team. I didn't expect him to die. But our father, the day after he died, called me and was like, did you see the news? He's dead. You can watch hockey again. And now the team is run by his 19 and 21-year-old daughters, so we'll see how that goes.
Oh, that can only go well.
I still didn't watch. I still didn't watch hockey. But then we went back to Ottawa, like I said, to visit family last week, and I took my 5-year-old to the arena to walk around, and it brought back all the feelings. And I was like, well, this is where my dad and I bonded, and this, I remember being here when we won.
Oh, you're such a sap.
I am. And it made me feel really old because we went in the team shop and I didn't know who any of the players were. I was like, who is that person? Who is that person? So that's my first. I broke down and watched hockey last night. One period.
Good?
I couldn't stomach a full game, but...
Was it good?
It was Edmonton versus Calgary.
Oh, I heard that game was amazing.
My other confession. It's not a confession. It's more a bone to pick with my body.
Okay.
I don't know what's happening with my nipples.
Oh, I don't know if this is something that I want to hear about. I don't know if this is something our audience wants to hear about.
Back in my prime, my nipples were right where they were supposed to be. Right in the middle, pointing out like flagposts. Like, do 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 do. Now, every day, I swear, they're rolling over more and more to the side. Now they look like two people who have just had a heated argument and are standing back to back, not making eye contact with each other.
Man, you look at your body so much.
And I know I could do push-ups, but who has the time?
Who does have the time?
But now the fact that my nipples are in an argument and sad with each other makes me sad just looking at them.
Then stop looking at them. You don't need to look at yourself as frequently as you do.
How are your nipples?
I couldn't tell you last time I looked at them, so... Hopefully they're not sideways.
That'll be a teaser for next week. Find out how Alan feels about his nipples next week.
It will not.
On episode 78.
Absolutely not. Sounds like you've had an exciting time. I haven't personally been that exciting. My biggest issue that I've been running into is going to the gym, in that I'm trying to psych myself up to buy a gym pass so I have a reason to go to the gym.
I was going to say, because you've never been a gym person.
No, I haven't. But it's mostly like I want to get a membership to the Y.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have like a huge swimming pool and they have like basketball courts and, you know, stuff that I actually enjoy doing that's not lifting weights or running on a treadmill.
Yeah.
But it's like a 10-minute drive from my house, and that seems like forever from here.
Yeah, because our towns, everything is like 5 minutes away. So yeah. 10 minutes away is like a big deal.
I live almost as middle of my city as I can.
Yeah, and it's way on the west side.
Yeah, it's as far as you can be from me probably without leaving the city. It's more than a little inconvenient.
But my old gym is close to yours. The kickboxing gym is right
there.
Oh,
but I don't want to do kickboxing. I want to do swimming and sports.
Fine, your nipples are going to be all saggy.
Well, that's what my... Well, now that's what my theory is. I was just getting worried because I was getting out of breath going up the stairs at work.
What we do in this segment is I surprise Alan with some fascinating facts about our world.
And sometimes he doesn't surprise me with them.
Because you already know them.
Because I'm smart sometimes.
Our first fact, ancient Romans used to drop a piece of toast into their glasses of wine for good luck.
Oh, did they then cheers and do a toast?
Well, that's why we say make a toast to this day, because you toast for good luck. And they used to actually put the toast in there.
Oh, interesting. That doesn't sound like it would taste good.
No, and I feel like it would soak up some of the wine, which is what I want. I want the tasty, tasty wine. I don't want wine-soaked bread.
Yeah, that just get raisin bread if that's what you want.
What? That's raisin-soaked bread.
Wine is made of grapes, so are raisins.
That's a stretch.
Everything I said was true.
How do you feel about shrimp, Alan?
A mean thing to call somebody.
Do you know that the shrimp's heart is actually in its head?
I did not. I'm not familiar with the anatomy of a shrimp.
Neither was I. That's why I find this one interesting as well. They have an open circulatory system, which means they have no arteries. Their organs just float in blood.
Oh, that sounds disgusting.
But they're so tasty.
I guess. I haven't eaten a bunch of shrimp personally, but... That's just because our mother terrified me that it might kill me for no reason.
Shrimp are delicious, but it's hard to believe they have anything in them. They're just like a savory marshmallow. Like you bite them and you don't see anything. There's no bone. There's no red for blood. There's not. There's a couple like veins, but apparently that's not even veins. That's just
aren't
like,
shrimps like invertebrate? They don't have bones.
Invertebrate, yeah.
So they. That would be why there's no bones.
So you know how they say the best ideas come in the shower, Alan?
Yeah, I've heard of that. Shower thoughts and the like.
People really actually are more inspired in the shower.
Why?
A warm shower results in increased dopamine levels, and dopamine makes people more creative.
Oh, interesting. I find I sing in the shower more than anything else, and that stops me from thinking about anything
but,
else.
I mean, it's creative to sing.
That's true. Did you know that apparently people sing in the shower because the shower muffles their singing or something like that?
I did not.
Yeah.
They're self-conscious.
Yeah. Hmm. And apparently it's something that we do subconsciously. I don't think it works that well.
The Spanish national anthem has no words.
It's just music or instrumental.
The Marcha Real is one of only four national anthems in the world, along with Bosnia and Herzegovina, Kosovo, and San Marino to have no official lyrics.
Hmm.
In 1770, King Carlos III declared it the official honor march of Spain. And in 1870, a contest was held to create a new national anthem, but they didn't declare a winner and the Marcha Real remained the national anthem.
Yeah, that sounds like a very boring contest.
They're like, we should probably fix this. Let's come up with an actual
We should get a new one. Okay, let's make a contest. No, these all suck. Somehow the ones with the words are worse.
Why did these people not make this while they were in the shower? What are they doing? Interestingly enough, Spain has had a number of dictators over the years, and different dictatorships have written lyrics to the tune of Marcha Real. But once that dictator left power... The lyrics went with them.
That makes sense.
Would you like to hear the national anthem?
Would I?
No, that was the short version.
Ah.
It sounds beautiful, but I feel like you really miss out on that unity thing, and it sounds a bit culty, but when a bunch of people are singing your national anthem, you do kind of get goosebumps. And now they can just hum.
Yeah, that's not nearly as good.
No.
Listening to that, it kind of made me think, isn't it weird that, like, so many national anthems are just, like, bizarre, like, orchestra instruments?
Yeah, you think they would change with this styling of music changing.
Yeah, like, these are all things marching bands can do. It's not, like, give me something with the guitar.
Please.
Please. We need more of that in my life.
The Japanese word, kuchi zemishi.
Nailed it.
Is the act of eating when you're not hungry because your mouth is lonely.
Oh.
The literal translation is longing to have or put something in one's mouth.
Like food.
Yeah. So basically eating when you're bored, eating when you're lonely, eating when you're sad.
Oh, eating your feelings. Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah.
That the Japanese have a word for it. Thank you, Japan. You have screwed the pooch on the Kit Kat front so far. But maybe that's why they have so many Kit Kats.
Just need to put something in my mouth like a Kit Kat.
I'm feeling kuchi zemishi right now.
Would you like a Kit Kat?
We have many different flavors and they're small, so you can eat your feelings, but also not gain too many calories.
I was really hoping you said weight. Not gain too many weight.
Google Images was created because of Jennifer Lopez, Alan.
She doesn't work at Google.
No. So in the year 2000, so many people were searching for the dress that she wore at the Grammy Awards that year that Google added an image function to help with the traffic.
Oh.
And I sent you the video, or the photo.
Oh, okay, perfect. I was just going to look it up.
I sent it to you earlier today. You texted me about it. Don't lie to the audience.
Ah, I see, I see.
You thought I sent you a random Jennifer Lopez picture with no context? And it was separate from this one?
I thought you sent me this picture because the old guy looks kind of like one of the guys we work with.
No, this is the dress she wore at the Grammy Awards that year.
Well, that makes way more sense now that I have more than zero context.
There is actually a word for someone giving an opinion on something they know nothing about.
There's a lot of jokes I can make about that one, but I'm not gonna.
An ultra-crepidarian is someone who voices thoughts beyond their expertise.
Weird. I can't think of a single time we've had that happen in the past couple of years.
Well, I thought of this because this is like our mother to a T. In the sense that our mother is the type of person, and once again, we love her, she's the best mother, but she will, you and I, for instance, could be talking about something and she could come in like 80% of the way through the conversation and only get the last 20% and then be like, yeah, why don't you do this? Or why don't you do this? Like, you don't know what we're talking about. You're taking a tiny sliver of the overall conversation.
Yeah.
Or she'll be like, okay, here's what I think you should do. It's like, that was what we talked about 10 minutes ago. You weren't here for that. You decided to randomly eavesdrop.
You gotta love her, though.
Mm-hmm. Bigger forks lead people to eat less.
Huh. I would have thought it would lead to eat more, because you could fit more on each forkful.
So apparently, people are stupid, because a study in the Journal of Consumer Research found that when diners were given larger forks with which to eat their meals, they ended up eating less. According to the researchers, this is because the smaller forks led diners to feel that they weren't making as much of a dent in their plate of food, and that made them think they were not satisfying their hunger. So they ate more to make it look like they ate more of their food to then satisfy their hunger.
Oh, that's weird. People are stupid.
That's what I said. Inside the arena for another episode of everyone's favorite game show, Call In Countdown. Now, this is a bit of a weird one this week, Alan, because I'm sure everyone will be able to hear that banging. We are live on location. Well, I am. You are not live on location.
Well, I'm live on the same location I usually am.
Yeah, you're live at your usual location. I am at our extended family barbecue where there's 25 people upstairs all trying to get dessert. Right above us, so there will be some feedback. This will not be the cleanest recording we've ever done, but you will have to make your way through the gauntlet of our aunts and uncles in hopes of winning your, would this be your third calling countdown?
Fourth.
Fourth. Your fourth calling countdown championship. So I will run upstairs and grab your first competitor.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, Alan, so we set this one up a little differently today. We have a different family member for every single round. So this first round, we have Random Ship's biggest fan, our Auntie Valley. So say hi to the people, Auntie Valley.
Hello out there. Keep listening.
It's a whole category based on the actress Anna Kendrick.
Ooh,
Annie
favorite.
Valley, would you like to go first or second?
I don't think it matters because I have no idea who this actress is. But anyway, go ahead. I'll go first.
Oh, this is a spot you like to Bold. Be in. So Annie Valley, where was Anna Kendrick born? Is it A, Seattle, Washington, B, Albany, New York, C, Aurora, Illinois, D, Portland, Maine, or E, Savannah, Georgia?
D, Portland, Maine.
Ding, ding, ding. You are correct. Anna Kendrick was born in Portland, Maine.
Good for me.
Good for you.
You're winning. You put Alan behind the eight ball. It's the whole family versus Alan, so you have to get off to a good start.
This is no longer where I want to be.
Alan, are you confident?
No.
Your question, my friend. This Anna Kendrick's classic song went 3 times platinum in the USA. Is it A, Cups, B, Spoons, C, Plates, D, Forks, or E, Relish?
A, Cups.
Ding, ding, ding. You are correct for a change. Yes, it is A, Cups. I thought I'd get you with Forks, because I'm like, it kind of sounds dirty, which kind of sounds like a pop song.
I love cups.
They're very useful.
So convenient.
Well, Annie Valley, thank you for making your debut appearance on the Random Ship. I am going to go run up and get Alan's second challenger.
Nice talking to you, Alan.
You as well. Bye.
So, are we here to talk about you, or are we here to talk about me? Or?
It's a quiz show. I'm going to ask you a quiz. And
skill testing.
You can tell Uncle Bill listens to every episode.
Okay.
So, as a recap, Alan, it'll have seemed like 10 seconds, but it's actually been like 10 minutes. You are tied with the family, 1-1. Annie Valley got her question right. You got your question right. Now, your second challenger is your favorite uncle, our Uncle Bill. Say hello to the people, Uncle Bill. Say hello to the people.
Which people is it? Only Alan.
Right now.
A person. Oh, okay. Hello, listeners. Both of you.
Well, that's accurate.
So your category, Uncle Bill, is surfing. Do you know a lot about surfing?
No, I know nothing about surfing.
Oh, excellent. Then we're on even footing.
But you're assuming that we're talking about surfing in the ocean on a board, eh?
Yes.
But there's also people that go to a concert and they jump into the crowd to call body surfing.
That is true.
That's really
or you
exciting.
Can surf the internet. That's not as exciting.
But I'm not
that, so. So, Uncle Bill, your question. The world's first surfing competition was held where?
Kona, Hawaii.
Is it A, Oahu, Hawaii, B, Corona Del Mar, California, C, Tihupo, Tahiti, or D, Puerto Escondido, Mexico?
I'm going to say Hawaii.
Wah, wah, wah. You are incorrect. The correct answer is B, Corona Del Mar, California. The Pacific Coast Surfboard Championship was held on August 7, 1928.
Competition. Can you tell the name of the winner?
They do not. Competitions included a paddling contest from the beach to the west jetty and back. I have no idea what that means. A canoe tilting competition. A demonstration of the use of surfboards for life-saving. And finally, a rough water surfboard race from the Bell to the east jetty. It sounds super boring. Oh, at least we got tickets to the canoe tilting. That is exciting.
That's crazy, because that's not what you're supposed to do with a canoe.
Yeah, that is the opposite of what you're supposed to do with a canoe. The winner was the person who didn't tilt the canoe. Alan, you have a chance. You are still tied 1-1. Can you take the lead? Your
Probably
question
not.
Is,
A hang 10 is when the surfer hangs all of his or her toes over the nose of the surfboard while riding. What is a hang 11? Is it A, all toes plus a thumbs up? B, all fingers over the nose of the board? C, when you do a hang 10 with a friend, so like a hang 10 plus 1? Or D, doing a hang 10 while completely naked?
I want to say thumbs up, but that seems too easy. But I'm going to say thumbs up.
Wah, wah, wah. You are incorrect. The correct answer is D, doing a hang 10 while nude. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know why you would do that, or who came up with that, or it must happen enough that it has its own name.
It's very freeing.
Yeah, you're going to take up surfing now.
What are they hanging up there, women?
They still have fingers. Oh, I guess, yeah, that's the hanging part.
That's not all hanging.
Well, Uncle Bill, thank you for joining us on round 2 of this episode of Calling Countdown. Alan, I will go get your third challenger.
Anyways, nice talking to you, Alan.
You as well.
Talk to you later. Bye.
See ya.
That was painless.
So once again, as another recap, it's been 10 seconds for our listeners, but 5 minutes for you, Alan. Yep. In case you forgot, you are tied 1-1 through 2 rounds. Your challenger this round is A, your nephew Grayson. Your second cousin Ellie is also here, but your main challenger is our Auntie Sendel. Auntie Sendel, say hello to the people.
Hello, you guys.
Your category, Auntie Sendel, for round 3 is the country of Belgium.
Oh, no.
Your question is, the most famous sculpture in Belgium depicts what? A naked little boy peeing, a lion, which is the national symbol of Belgium, fighting an eagle, which is the national symbol of Germany, or C, a farmer planting poppies, which is the national flower of Belgium.
Oh, well, since my mother was Belgian, I can say it was the mannequin test, the little boy peeing. Thank you for giving me that question, right? Am I right? Am I right?
Ding, ding, ding! You are correct!
Thank you!
The little boy is named Mannequin Piss, as you stated, and he was created in 1619 by Jerome Duconot the Elder. I don't know why he's named the Elder, but maybe instead of saying senior.
I'm guessing he's old.
As an example of Belgitude, or Belgianness, and folk humor popular in the region. The current boy that is peeing is actually a replica, as the original sits in the Brussels City Museum.
And I saw it.
You saw the original and
the
replica?
The replica, yes. They have them dressed in different costumes.
Well, I did not know she had this treasure trove of mannequin piss knowledge, Ellen. That is pure.
I feel like I'm at a severe disadvantage.
Your question, Alan. Can you pull even?
Well, I don't have this wealth of knowledge, so I do not expect to.
This famous cartoon originated as a comic strip in 1958, and it is Belgian. Is it A, the Smurfs, B, Calvin and Hobbes, or C, Hagar the Horrible?
I have no idea.
No.
I'm gonna guess B.
Wah, wah, wah. You are incorrect. Annie Sendel, what is the correct answer?
I was going to say Hagar the Horrible. No. What did he say?
The correct answer is A, the Smurfs.
Oh, really?
Oh.
The Smurfs.
You shouldn't have asked about Tintin.
Well, I thought that was too obvious. The first appearance of the Smurfs was in 1958 in Johan A. Pirilluit. And the Little Blue Smurfs have gone on to star in 31 different Smurf-specific comics, multiple movies and TV shows, theme park attractions, and there was even a Smurfs on Ice skating show.
Wow, I didn't realize the Smurfs were so big.
Would you go to a Smurfs on Ice skating show?
I would not. Would you?
I have a child. I can't make choices for myself anymore. If he wanted to go, we would go.
Oh, Annie Pat's coming down. Everyone is coming. Annie Sendel, thank you for joining us. Now, Alan, on to
thank you for inviting me.
Final round. So, Alan, I saved your biggest challenger for the final round. I recruited your namesake, so it's going to be our Uncle Alan going up against you, Alan. And you need to hope that he gets this question wrong if you have any chance of winning.
Yes. As is tradition.
As a reminder, you are down 2 points to one, and in the final round, you will get an option of two possible answers. Uncle Alan, the final category is coffee. How knowledgeable are you on coffee?
Oh, I know about the monkey, the one that monkeys eat the cocoa beans, and then they go through their system, and it's an expensive...
Oh, yeah, isn't that like the world's most expensive coffee
or something?
Yeah, it is.
I know about that one.
The poop coffee.
The most flavorful.
I do not have any questions about poop coffee.
Okay, all right.
Your question is, coffee dates back to when? 1200 AD or 800 AD?
Well, I would say 1200.
You are incorrect. You have a chance, Alan.
Yes!
Back in 800 AD, goat herders noticed the effect caffeine had on their goats, who appeared to dance after eating the fruit of the coffea plant. A local monk then took those fruit and made a drink with them and found that it kept him awake late into the night.
Past 9:30.
Just another reason to thank monks. They're doing God's work. Oh, yeah, that was a good one. Uncle Alan didn't laugh. He's sitting here very stoically.
I'm a little stuck. I'm thinking about the little goat dancing around.
So, Alan, you have a chance. You have to get this right. And then
okay.
Not only do you tie and we have to go to a tiebreaker, but you finally prove to be the better Alan. So
that'll never happen, unfortunately.
I also am not confident that would ever happen.
The term espresso means what, Alan? Is it A, pressed out, or B, extra strong?
I'm extra strong.
Wah, wah, wah. You are incorrect. The correct answer is A, pressed out. This refers
Which
to the way...
Sense.
It refers to the way espresso is made, it forcing boiling water through pressed coffee grounds. And although espresso has more caffeine per volume than coffee, it would actually take a triple shot of espresso to equal the amount of caffeine in a regular cup of coffee.
Really? I didn't know that.
According to the Coffee Facts website I found online. And you can trust anything you read. So, Alan, you lose again and the family has defeated you. How do you feel?
Ashamed. I've brought dishonor to my family.
Uncle Alan, thank you for joining us today.
All right.
Thank you to the entire family for being our guinea pigs today.
And putting up with us.
And I appreciate talking to my namesake.
Well, we are just about to dock here and end this 77th journey on board the Random Ship. But before we do, we want to remind you, check us out on Instagram at Random Ship the Podcast. Hit us up on email at randomshipthepodcast@gmail.com. Alan, give the people what they want. What is this week's ship fact?
This week's ship fact is... probably the ship fact that we should have done on the very first episode and I never have gotten around to it. A ship is a large watercraft that travels the world's oceans and other sufficiently deep waterways carrying cargo or passengers, or in support of specialized missions such as defense, research, and fishing.
That's a very broad definition.
And yet, specific.
Yeah, it has to be a certain depth.
Yeah. They don't go through ponds.
That was fascinating, Alan. We now can start all the other ship facts all over again. Thank you all so much for joining us.
And have a great week, everybody. Oh, I don't know if this is something that I want to hear about. I don't know if this is something our audience wants to hear about.